Today's gospel provides us with the opportunity to reflect upon many different things. We could take this time to think about the dual nature of Jesus, where he's both divine and human, and how his baptism affected or changed that nature. We could continue to explore the intricate relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus. What do their words and actions have to say to us today about repentance and forgiveness? Or we could see what part this passage plays in the larger narrative of the Gospel of Matthew. Instead, I want to take this time to reflect upon the nature of baptism as it is found in the text and as it is practiced today. Although John's baptism was intended for repentance, Jesus clearly had no need to repent of his sins. In verse 11, the Greek word metanoia is used to explain what is happening in John's baptism. It suggests transformation and a turning rather than simple repentance for sins, as the Greek is often translated. The baptism we read about in Matthew does suggest a transformation, as Jesus is now turning from his life as he was living it in Nazareth, to a new way of life, walking through the country, proclaiming the good news of God's love for us all. We witness Jesus choosing a path that will take him from the carpentry shop in Nazareth, and eventually this path from the Jordan will lead to the cross, the tomb, and glory, and all along the way, it becomes clear to those who have eyes to see who Jesus is and to whom he belongs. For Jesus, the transformation that occurs is not an ontological change, a change in his being or the way he acts. Instead, it is purely physical in the sense that this event marks the beginning of his ministry. For John, Jesus' baptism is an aspect of discipleship. John is to baptize Jesus as an act of submission and obedience to God. Before this event, John was foretelling the coming of Christ and the kingdom of righteousness that will follow. He preached repentance, for the hour had come when all would be judged. He was a leader, gathering people to him. But through Jesus' baptism, John was transformed as well. He turns from leader to follower. In doing this, John not only participates in God's unfolding purpose for Jesus, but he also behaviorally testifies to the coming of God's kingdom. While both Jesus and John were changed through baptism, the question becomes, what does this mean for us? Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism is presented as a righteous act of solidarity with those to whom and for whom he has come. The one who is now being baptized is also the one who will usher in God's kingdom and bring the good news of forgiveness to those same human hands. In many ways, Jesus' baptism is for us. It is the means by which we are transformed. Jesus often didn't speak in the way people expected him to speak. He told stories in which the heroes were Samaritans rather than Jews, publicans rather than Pharisees, sinners and outcasts rather than the priests and teachers of the law. In the kingdom that he was bringing into this world, the first would be last and the last first, and the greatest would be the servant of all. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the radical reordering of the world, where the emphasis is not on power, authority, and control. Instead, in this kingdom, the emphasis is on love and the fulfillment of the will of God for all people. This is the kingdom that will be ushered into reality by Christ. Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of making this idea of that kingdom a reality. But he is not the only one who will work to achieve this, because we too are called by God through Christ to participate in God's redemptive work. To begin to understand this, we can look to our own baptism and the covenant we made with God and the community. By the waters of our baptism, we have undergone a transformation. We have been created a new being in Christ, a changed nature. Each and every one of us is now called to live a life of discipleship. Within these walls, we are a community that forms people to witness God's truth in the world. Our mission is to bring about unity, unity with God, and unity with each other. How do we do this? How do we, a small parish in a relatively quiet residential neighborhood, become the kind of community that forms others? As Episcopalians, we can look for direction in Scripture. We examine it through the lens of the rich heritage of our tradition. Through Scripture, we remember the ways in which God has worked and revealed himself throughout history. Through Scripture, we see how God is speaking to us today. We not only look to Scripture for direction, but we find it through the sacraments of the church. The sacraments touch our humanity in ways that correspond to human experience. In our physical humanity, you and I understand what it is to wash and become clean. We understand what it is to eat and drink, and so sustain our lives. The whole sacramental system of the church is built upon that foundation in our humanity. When we actively engage in the ritualistic actions of our sacraments, we are continually caught up into God's redemptive work in the history of salvation. We see and feel this in the weekly participation in the Eucharist, where we receive strength and renewal. We experience that renewal through our baptism and in the witnessing of others being baptized in our midst. Baptism is not just a one-time experience. It is true that we physically participate in the ritual act of baptism once. It is also true that through that participation, we have been given the gift of the Spirit that dwells within us and works through us. But the transformation that occurs in baptism is a continuous and lifelong endeavor. Every time a person is baptized in the midst of our community, we reaffirm the covenant with God made on our behalf. We remind ourselves of what we are committing our lives to. We remind ourselves that through these promises, we continue the mission of Jesus Christ. Because of our participation in the remembrance of the baptism of Christ today, in a few moments we will again reaffirm our covenant with God. We will once again stand together and with one voice, we will reaffirm our faith and commit ourselves to a certain way of life. But before we do that, though, do we really know what we are committing ourselves to? We reaffirm these vows several times a year so we know them, we're familiar with them, the words roll off our tongues, but do we really know what we are saying? More importantly, do we really mean what we are saying? In an address to an ecumenical meeting of Christian liturgists, David Batchelder, a prominent Presbyterian pastor and liturgist, writes, "I worry that our communities have learned to practice a way of speaking ritually that not only permits false witness at the font, but establish it as a norm. We make claims concerning sin and evil, but often live our lives as if we have not really considered the implications. Sometimes I wonder where the church believes there are any serious implications at all. Ritual practice can give the appearance that accountability is fulfilled simply by one's participation in the rites, with the moral weight residing in the rhetoric." What Pastor Batchelder is writing about is the fear of when meaning becomes divorced from the ritual acts in which we engage. The sacramentality of the rite is lost as we engage in ritualistic actions that are purely just actions. The sacrament no longer serves as the mean by which we connect with God. So then, what is it that we are promising? What is it that we are saying about ourselves and the way we live our lives outside these walls? What are we saying about our relationship with God? The baptismal covenant that we find in our prayer book is a new addition when set in the context of our almost 500-year history. While this idea of an affirmation of faith has been an integral part of the baptismal rite, the idea of a covenant had not been explicitly stated until the 1979 prayer book. The covenant begins with the traditional proclamation of the Apostles' Creed in response to the threefold questions: Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? This affirmation of faith in the triune God is the first and foundational part of the baptismal covenant. The creed is then followed by five questions. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbors as yourselves? And finally, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? The intention of the questions asked of us is that the authors of the prayer books felt that it was necessary and pastorally useful to spell out the implication of keeping God's holy will and commandments. The baptismal covenant has become a constant basis for reflection and a reference point for catechetical instruction. The ultimate goal of the covenant is to enable us to reflect on the meaning of our faith and to connect faith in Jesus Christ with the realities of our daily lives. The fruit of this is the continual opportunity to enter more deeply into the symbols of our redemption, baptism and the Eucharist, which form the central meaning of the sacramental life we are called to by the life and witness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I challenge you, each and every one of us, to think more deeply about what it is we are saying when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant with God. I challenge us to reflect upon how we live out these sacred promises in our daily lives. Do we continue in the apostles' teachings and fellowship, break bread and pray? Do we resist evil, and when we sin, do we repent and return to God? Do we proclaim by word and example the good news? Do we seek and serve Christ in all persons? Do we strive for justice and peace? But perhaps more importantly, do we as a community of faith support one another in living out these tenets of our faith? Are we bringing about the kingdom in the here and now? If we take these promises seriously and find ways to intentionally act upon them, then we will indeed be transformed. We will be actively engaging in the mission of the church while holding true to the teachings of Christ. I pray that in our reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant, we find meaning and strength and a renewal of our commitment to one another and to Christ. Amen.